Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're continuing our series on challenges to knowing and hearing from God. Our emphasis is always on our personal relationship and ability to hear Him. It's not about what we can do for Him, what we want to do for Him, what we can get from Him. Instead, all these things are secondary and will come about, you know, asking Him to move on our behalf. You know, we have talked and we'll continue to talk about the difference between blessing and inheritance and healing and wholeness. And what our life was like as a soulical being with a dead spirit versus a spirit being with a live spirit. It's a process. And that's really the next challenge we're going to talk about, is that challenge to be restful and diligent patience with ourselves, with others, and believe it or not, with God. We can get so impatient with Him and ourselves. Very often we have more patience for others than we do for either God or ourselves. But we are in a long process, and I suspect it began before we entered this world and will continue after we leave it. So we are in this for the long haul. And we also recognize that what God values for us is different than what we've been taught or what suits our temperament. And what God values is us. He is focused on bringing us into singular being, spirit, soul, and body. That perfect alignment to become the unique being that He has placed on this earth for this time. This takes time. And this is probably the greatest challenge for us in knowing and hearing from him, is that it takes time and attention. We all have the same amount of time in our day, 24 hours. But what are we attending to during that time? Does God have permission to reveal Himself, draw us to Him, knock on our door at any time? Now, that's not to say that there's times when we can't give Him our attention, but how do we respectfully do that? How do we put a hold on Him to attend to the practical? This is also something we learn by doing. And the whole concept of learning to know Him, there are things that we are given to do as Christians, and we are instructed to keep doing them until they work. Attend church, tithe, give to missions, give to the poor, you know, be involved in Bible study, in worship, in your local church, being involved in certain things, and then not doing certain things. So we're told that if we do those things, it's pleasing to God, and we will know Him. And so many believers, this is, I believe, one of the reasons so many are now leaving traditional churches, because they are doing all this, what they've been told to do, and they're not knowing God. They're not drawing close to Him. They are not getting those deep needs met. The problem is then when you turn around and say, well, to know Him will take time and attention. Now, let's look at that time. We're not talking about, well, it's going to take all these years. It's going to take 20 years to know Him. No, it's going to take a bigger part of your today. If you are thinking that reading a psalm, for instance, will bring you into that relationship that will satisfy, when God has made it able in your life to really carve out some time and space and attention for Him, and you are not, He is going to stir up, and we ask Him to right now, stir up a thirst and a dissatisfaction with what you are doing now. Again, this is about you and Him. This is not about pleasing anybody else or achieving any standard. This is about knowing Him. Only knowing Him satisfies us, meets our needs, gives us that rest and contentment. Of course, that, you know, then the complaint that we'll just sit around in the navel-gazing, but that's absolutely a false argument, because the more we know God, the more projects He gives us. Now, those projects are going to be varied. Sometimes nobody else will ever know what projects you're dealing with, you're working on, and others will be challenged to change the world as a project, not a purpose. Your purpose is to know Him, to be healed, to overcome your enemies, and to hear Him, know how to test what you're hearing and recognize His voice. How He does that is going to be unique for each one of us. So when we talk about that knowing God takes time, it's not about that it's going to take 20 years to know Him. No, it's going to take more of your time today. And the more time we give Him, the more He reveals Himself. When we do give Him just that little bit extra, rather than doing something to know Him, being available, presenting your ear, Him that has an ear to hear. We all have ears, but do we have one to hear? And just being available. Lord, if You want to speak, I'm available. Most of the time, it's fascinating because we will sit and we will wait and we will even spend hours and hours and hours being available and not hear a thing. And then as soon as we drive out the driveway, He starts talking to us. So as soon as we sit down for a meeting at work, He starts talking to us. As soon as we, you know, get on a plane for travel or a vacation or start talking with somebody else on the phone, He starts talking to us. He wants to teach us how to be a spirit being, living with a soul in a body. And this is something we have to experience in order to become comfortable with and know how this works. So we know that we're faced in our present society, and it's been this way for quite some time, that it's almost an instant society. We end up yelling at the microwave for taking too long. Even when we talk about a war in the political sense, they must be fought and won without any inconvenience to or thought from the general population. We don't want to be interfered with, even by these big things. Knowing and experiencing truth takes research, diligence, hard work, and patience. And most of all, it takes time. Again, not the 20 years, but more time today. How much time are you giving him? We rarely give a second thought to going on vacation or spending hours in front of the television. And we even allow strangers who we have no idea of their integrity or character. We allow them to feed us their opinions in regard to the nature and substance of truth. What is truth for a situation, for us, for this time? But we must always keep the rewards in perspective. Our goal is not just to know truth, but to know God. Again, what that will look like will be different for each one of us. And what that will look like in general terms will be that regardless of whether you're going on vacation, or at work, or getting on an airplane for a business meeting, or doing surgery, or solving a complicated math problem, if your awareness has been tuned to his personal presence, you can be doing all these other things and still abiding spiritually, communing with him and receiving that life and information. Just as you are, say you're an architect, just as you're drafting a new building, the Lord can be downloading a whole new revelation about what he wants to build in you. This, again, we experience it and learn how it works. Very often this is, he gives us an experience and then explains it. And then says, this is how this works. This is what it looks like. This is how I want you to respond. We often want it the other way around. We want to understand something before he does it. And just a reminder, your spirit, who you truly are, already understands everything God is doing in your life. And not only agrees with it, but embraces every activity, every action, every decision that God is doing. He has already not just asked for your permission, not just shown you, but joined with your spirit in that project, in that expression, in that revelation. For many, this is a new concept, and many, it's been something we've talked about many times. But are we needing a reminder that what he is after is us? It's you, it's me, it's his heart, and being receptive, being able to receive everything he wants to share. Remember, his basic nature, God's basic nature, is giving, sharing, pouring out, expressing. He doesn't need anything. He's got excess, so he has needs some place to expand it into. The more we are able to be a receptacle, a new wineskin, the more he will pour into us, whatever that may look like. We have such a short-sighted acceptance of what a good Christian life is. When I think of what Jesus said, that greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. And we're so far away from even doing what he did while he was here on this earth. And by that, I mean, I'm talking about the Western style of church. All over the world, there are many who have embraced God in different ways and are accepting him on his terms and expressing what he has poured into them in far greater ways than we experience here on this earth, in Western religious circles. For us, we hear about a healing, a miraculous healing, and we doubt, let alone thinking someone can be raised from the dead or freed from demonic interference or a life completely changed around. We pass our damaged to hospitals, to social workers, to the welfare system. When we can't help them on our terms, we turn it over to a solical approach rather than insisting on a spiritual revival and renewal in that person, in that situation. So there are many ways that we have abdicated, all of us, abdicated our options. And this is part of the scary thing, that what if God really started to do that? What if in you, in me, in all of us, God really started to reveal himself? One of my favorite historical figures is Jean Guyon. And her closeness to God was all that mattered to her, was spending time with him and knowing him. And yet, there was such a presence of revelation, of knowledge, of healing, because that spirit of God was flowing through her without her needing to do a thing. People would come into her presence and be healed. And they would walk away not being joyful that they had been healed, but with a thirst for knowing him. And that's one of the things we know, okay, this is a true touch from God. Because the emphasis is not on the change, but on knowing him. And when we think about even Peter, his shadow passing by and touching people and healing them without his knowledge, without his, doing anything himself, it was purely the presence of God. And how far away from that? You know, what is it that we're missing, that the divorce rate in the church is the same for the unchurched? What is it that we aren't able to defend ourselves against accusations of religion with anything other than words? Jesus silenced his critics by being the Son of God. whatever that looked like. Whether it was restoring that ear that Peter had chopped off, or sending a word of healing, he said, to show that I can forgive sin, I will show you I have the power. And we're all so consumed with freeing from sin and salvation, and yet we have no power to lend any credibility to that notion. So it's the beginning of the year. I even challenge you. Is there an area? Go to the Lord. Ask, Lord, is there an area where I can move farther into being available and willing to be used in a more obvious way? Now, that may not be what's on God's plate for you, and that's fine. But we need to be often reminded. The Lord will ask us to go beyond our comfort zone. And whatever that comfort zone is, the first stability that we will experience is the habit of giving God our time and attention. Experience patience by practice. Being able to just be in his presence, trusting, without feeling, but knowing that he is moving and changing and filling us with his presence without us even knowing it, without feeling anything or hearing anything or knowing anything. Now, he knows we need encouragement, so there's times when he gives us that encouragement. But our experience in learning how to be patient is going to be different for each of us. And so we're not going to be able to say, this is what it looks like. It may not be evident the same way. You're still always late, for instance, or you're still short with this person, when God may be changing your patience in a whole different way. We let him decide what's important, because we know that we are important. So each of us must come to value the work itself rather than the results, regardless of its value to others. As you spend time with him, that is the work. Making yourself available, resting in him, being, Lord, my ears are open. Doing the necessary testing. Lord, is there any interference here? I want to be able to hear you clearly. Is there anything you want to say? Is there any healing you want to do? Is there anything I've missed? Did I forget to do something? Taking this process seriously. Be taking notes. What am I supposed to be working on? Are you working on it? So we talked about research and putting time into those things. For instance, if God laid it on your heart that he wanted you to open a business, you don't just go, okay, I'm going to go rent a building. No, you do the due diligence. You do the work that's involved. You aren't careless. You aren't negligent. You're patient. And you're patient with yourself. You're patient with God. You're patient with others. Because the value is in the patience itself. It's not so you can therefore get something or be something or do something, but waiting for God is its own reward. waiting on him, being still in his presence, being available with your ears and your eyes and your heart open, that is your service. That is your work. Then he may, in addition to that, have things for you to do, places for you to go, things for you to say. But we're patient because we know once we've done that, once we've learned how to wait on him, there's the satisfaction that comes with that. It is life to us. It is food to our soul and our body. To hurry God is to find fault with him. Lord, why don't you tell me what I need to know? Well, if he was ready to tell you, he would tell you. But he's not. And to be impatient with him implies that he's doing something wrong, that he's out of sync. And so as we learn to accept, this comes with confidence that you're able to hear him. Once you learn that you're able to hear him, you're hearing him clearly, and that if he wanted to direct you, he could easily because you're hearing him and you're able to distinguish his voice. But when you have that confidence, you don't move until he says move. You can wait and wait and wait. That doesn't mean you don't take care of your business. This is where we get into the three realms of reality, that there are different laws for the natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual. And the natural takes care of the natural, the supernatural takes care of the supernatural. And that's where your soul is. But as far as God's things, if he has made a promise to us, and we are waiting, and we are doing what we believe he's told us to do, that's the goal. You've already met that goal. Not that the promise is fulfilled, but that you are acting on it. And that doesn't mean, say he promises you a great ministry around the world, an international ministry. That doesn't mean you go out and start buying television time. No, you start, Lord, what to achieve this? What do I need to do? And we spend time and we do research and we commune with him about the direction, about the specifics. And if he never goes any farther than that, if the promise that he gave you never goes any farther than that, is that okay? If it never goes beyond the research, is that okay? Say God tells you to learn sign language. And you learn sign language and you think, oh, I'm going to be involved in the ministry for sign language during the church services. But he never puts you in a position to use it. Was that a waste of time? No. Because you heard him. And he was able to pour himself into you by that hearing. It's not the doing. It's not achieving that goal. It's not, okay, learning how to do sign language. It's that you heard him, you acted on it, and you were ready. What he chooses to do with what you've responded with is totally up to him. It's the process that matters. And to hurry God is to say that he is out of time, he's out of sync, that he's late. So we will pick it up there for next week. In the meantime, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. You can use the contact form on the website as well, or contact me through Blog Talk Radio. But until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.